This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello and welcome to Six Figure Dog Business on PetLifeRadio.com. I'm your host, Ty Brown of TyTheDogTrainerCoach.com, and this is the show where we help you start or grow your pet-related business to a healthy six-figure per year or more income. And today on the show, we've got an advertising expert. His name is Adam Katz. Hold on for 1 second. We'll come right back with Adam Katz.
Pets are part of the family. Make sure you can always afford the quality health care they need with Easy Pet Check, a nationwide pet insurance alternative. With Easy Pet Check, you'll save up to 75% on all your pet's health care at any licensed veterinarian in the U.S. Easy Pet Check accepts all dogs and cats, regardless of pre-existing conditions. Visit EasyPetCheck.com. That's the letters EZPetCheck.com. Taking care of your pet can be easy with Easy Pet Check.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
All right. Today we've got on the show a friend of mine. His name is Adam Katz. So first of all, Adam, thanks for being on the show and welcome.
My pleasure.
Second of all, tell us a little bit about who you are. Give us a rundown, a little bio on who Adam Katz is.
Sure. I was a student at the University of California at Berkeley in the 90s, graduated in 1994. But while I was a student, I went to a study group and met a woman who was married to an Israeli guy who had trained dogs in Israel and then had come to the Bay Area, Berkeley area, started up a little dog training business. And remember, this was in like the early 90s.
Yeah.
And was making $1,000 a dog, meeting people at a local park, and was just helping them with their dog. And at the time, that was a lot of money, definitely a lot of money for a college kid. So I started apprenticing with him for about a year, eventually graduated, went to a dog trainer school back east. Long story short, I ended up owning over the past 28 years, three different dog training businesses in two different states. I've written close to 30 books at this point. I had a dog training membership site called dogproblems.com, which has since sunsetted, but that project ended up making us over $6 million, largely off the back of Google Ads. And so I became very intimate with all kinds of different online marketing, a little bit of offline marketing. About 5 years ago, I started Browning Direct, which has become a dog trainer marketing agency. We now run Google Ad campaigns at any given time between 50 to 60 different dog training businesses across North America and a couple overseas. And it's been an amazing opportunity to help both dog training business owners, as well as dog owners. I'm able to kind of amplify my reach by helping you guys at home with dog training businesses help more dogs.
So basically at this point, the main part of your business is running advertising and helping dog trainers bring on new clients, right?
Yeah. So we do the Google Ads management. We also offer a done-for-you dog training business website where we use tested copies of the persuasive text, as well as design and conversion optimization strategies. Basically, you can have an out-of-the-box dog training business website that works from day one. Basically, my premise is this. If you have some junky website that you spent $5 and 5 minutes putting together with GoDaddy or with Wix, what happens is you may be getting only one out of 20 people who contact you. And especially if you're paying for traffic, if you're paying for ads, you need to do better than that. So if you can just massage or change the text or the copy on your website and go from maybe 1 in 20 people contacting you to 1 in 5, suddenly you're cooking with gas.
In fact, I want to talk to you more about that here in a bit, because it's a skill set that I think a lot of dog, not dog trainers, but business owners in general overlook is how to be persuasive with the words that they use. You know, I had forgotten that, that you went to Berkeley. I've known you for years now. I used to Berkeley.
Don't hold that against me.
Well, because you're kind of a straight-laced conservative guy. I just think of when in the mid-90s, so I'm a few years younger than you, but in the mid-90s, when we would ditch high school, we would go hang out on Telegraph on, you know, and Telegraph Avenue is right there where Berkeley, where UC Berkeley is. And so I can't picture you hanging out on Telegraph Avenue when you were in college.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to believe, but I was, you know. And one of the things I remember vividly was the punk rock kids who would pretend to be homeless and sit out on the on the street on Telegraph Avenue trying to collect money. And then the real homeless people who, you know, typically have a dog like a brindle pit bull or something. And I was always amazed at how well those dogs would behave.
Yeah, they were so well socialized. You know, they were constantly out in the real world training every day. Anyways, yeah. So kind of a funny route that you took from UC Berkeley to now, you know, running this business that you do. So let's talk about this. This is the main thing I want to get, kind of pull out of you today is how you're able to have success with Google Ads. Because you've worked with, the only reason I know the number is I've listened to some of your videos. I think you've said you've worked with over 100 dog trainers in running their ads, right?
Correct.
Okay. So obviously, if you've worked with over 100 dog trainers, you've got a system that works pretty well. And so now some people might not be familiar with the different ad platforms. When we're talking about Google Ads, what primarily, where are these ads showing up? What do they look like? That type of thing.
Big broad question. But generally speaking, when a dog owner goes to Google and does a search, and they might search for something like dog trainer near me or dog obedience near me or Miami dog trainer, you know, depending on the market, whatever it is. What happens is typically the first 2 to 4 results at the top are actually ads. And you could tell that they're ads because it says real small in the upper left-hand corner, it says ad. But Google's done these studies that show that more than 50% of people who do searches don't even realize that those are actually ads, even though it says ad in the upper left-hand corner. So those are what we call pay-per-click ads. What we do is we have basically proprietary strategies for structuring the campaigns, for A-B testing the different ads that show up. You know, when somebody does a search, the negative keyword list, which I can go into later, and all these various strategies that we've tested because we've been in so many different markets. At any given time, we're typically managing between 50 to 60 different campaigns in different markets for different dog training business owners. And so we're able to see a lot of data and really determine what's working and what's not. And so somebody does a search, they see the ad come up at the top of the page, which again, more than 50% of the time, they don't even realize it's an ad. They click on that, and then that takes them to either the dog trainer's website, their homepage, or it takes them to a one-page website, which we call a landing page that we set up for the client. And that landing page has copy, which is basically persuasive text, on that page that converts really well, that converts somebody who's interested into an actual lead. And so from that point, they're either picking up the phone and calling the dog training business, or they're filling out, for example, if it's in the middle of the night, they're filling out the contact form so that the dog trainer can call them back in the next morning and schedule them for a consultation.
So this is my curiosity. Not everyone is, but a lot of people are familiar with those ads. And so that's mostly where you're showing up. I know Google also has like a display network where you can do like banner ads. Do you ever use the display network for any of what you do?
Yeah, we do. We use kind of a hybrid in that it's a text-based display ad. And so those ads appear on within the Google network. And those might be, you know, blogs related to dogs or animals or different search engines or just different web properties around the internet. However, what we found is that a click is not a click. So the search clicks, when people are actually going to Google and entering in a search term like, you know, dog obedience Fresno, tends to convert much better. So for example, one search click is typically equal to anywhere from 10 to 30 display ad clicks. So the display ad clicks don't convert as well as the search clicks. However, the display ad clicks are typically 1/10 the price of the search clicks, in my experience. So you can get them a lot cheaper. So what we do is we use the display ads to kind of fill in the gaps in a campaign. So for example, you know, you may be paying $4 to $6 per click for a search click. And that's expensive, but it's expensive because they work really well. And we know that, you know, typically, you know, it takes about 1 out of 6 clicks to 1 out of 8 clicks on average to convert into an actual lead. So you're spending anywhere from $20 to maybe $50 to get a lead versus the display clicks, which again are much, much cheaper. Generally, if we can buy the display clicks, and it depends on how much inventory is available, but anywhere from, you know, 75 cents or less is good. 50 cents or less is even better. But again, you need to buy 10 to 30 times as many of those display clicks in order to have them convert into a lead.
So let me see if I can translate this, if I understand, and let me translate it back to you. So basically, there's two types of traffic you buy. Somebody goes in and they click Reno dog trainers, and everyone's familiar with Google. We got, you know, 1 through 10 or however many is on that page, and the first couple are ads. And that's the main way that you guys are buying traffic, essentially. That's the main way that you guys are getting people to click on the websites for your dog.
I would say 95%.
Okay, gotcha. And then, but elsewhere, somebody's got like mylittledogblog.com and they've got whatever, you know, they've got dog blogs or they've got websites about dogs. And there, they have enabled Google to advertise on their site using banners, right? You know, like a little 1-inch by 3-inch banner or something like that. And so sometimes you buy some of that traffic is what you're saying.
Correct. And it might be something like a local directory of dog parks. You know, so that people, you know, looking for a dog park in the area and they hit on this website, and then the website has ads on it, and those ads are part of Google's ad network. And so we would display, and for us, the way that we do it, the ads look kind of similar to the way the search ads look because they're text-based ads. We're not doing, you know, individual, you know, banner type ads for each individual client. It just becomes too cumbersome.
Interesting. So you take the same type of ad. Okay. I see what you're saying. I want to switch gears now. Now that we're clear on what you do, I want to switch gears because I find that a lot of dog business owners, when they don't have enough clients or when they want to grow or when they want to have like predictable income or whatever the case is for them, one of the first things they think of is where should I advertise? How should I advertise? Stuff like that. And then you'll have people say, oh, well, you should do Facebook, you should do Google, you should do whatever, you should do Money Savers or, you know, Valpak or whatever. So you get all these responses, but I often find that those responses are too premature, that we need to look even before that at how the business is set up. And so I want to ask you, what are some of the things that you notice about businesses that do really well with Google Ads? Like, what are the things that like... And it could be anything, you know, it could be anything on how they're set up or what their prices are, stuff like that. But like, what are the things that you see that you're like, uh-oh, this person isn't even ready to advertise on Google versus, yeah, this guy can make a good run on Google. Like, what are those things? I know that's a little bit broad.
Yeah, it's a great question, but it is super broad. But let me see if I can touch on a couple of things. So number one, we don't always send the Google Ads traffic to the client's website. And that is typically, we don't do that if I feel that the client's website is not strong enough to convert the traffic. So in those cases, what we do is we basically set up a separate domain. We register the domain. We set up a separate one-page landing page that has demonstrated that it converts the interested prospects into actual leads. But what I look for in a client is, number one, they have to have systems in place already. So for example, they have to have a business model that actually works. Sometimes I'll get calls from people and I'll ask them right off the top. I'll say, what is your average ticket? How much are you charging? In marketing circles, we talk about average lifetime customer value. And for a lot of dog trainers, that might just be the $1,000 private lesson program that you sell them. That would mean that $1,000 private lesson program, if that's all you ever sell them, that's your average lifetime customer value. For other dog trainers, it might be that program, plus it might be some boarding later on, or it might be dog daycare, or it might be, you know, selling them on dog food where you make $50 a month off them off that, whatever it may be. And so you would add all those things up to determine what that dog trainer's average lifetime customer value is. Now, for most new dog trainers, it's just going to be, you know, one or two different programs. Maybe they offer a board and train program. Maybe they offer a private lesson program. And so I would say, okay, on average, what are you making per client? And if the dog trainer responds with, on average, I'm charging $300, then I know right off the bat, you're not a good candidate for Google Ads. In fact, I don't even think you have a business. I think you have a hobby.
Yeah.
So in my experience, you need to really be charging at least $1,000 per dog on average in order to really have a business. Because once you finish paying for your insurance and your taxes, and if you have a little facility and your truck and all the other things, there's got to be enough money left over for you to, you know, go on vacation every once in a while and take your sweetheart out for a movie. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to do that for $300 per dog. So you've got to structure your programs in a way that you're charging at least $1,000 per dog, and more is even better. Many dog trainers were seeing on average charging about $3,000 for a 3-week board and training program. And this is all stuff I've learned since running Google Ads for dog training businesses, because I didn't have this insight into the industry before I started working with a lot of other dog training businesses. So on average, we're kind of seeing about $1,000 a week for board and train programs. What that means, though, is that with advertising, and I've heard you say this yourself, Ty, I've heard you say that we're basically paying to acquire a client. So let's say on average, we're spending, I'm just going to make up a number. Let's say we're spending $50 per lead. And on average, we're able to close 1 in 3 leads, right? We're able to get in front of those 3 people who contact us. We're able to get in front of 1 of 3 and pitch them and get them to sign up. So we've spent at, let's say, $50 per lead. We've spent $150 to acquire a client. And that client pays us $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. So if we look at it and we say, okay, we don't want to spend more than maybe 10 or 15% of our revenue to acquire a new client. Well, if you're charging $3,000 per client and you only want to spend 10% to acquire a client, that's $300 you can spend. You're not going to need to, in most markets, you're not going to need to spend anywhere near $300 to acquire a client. Mm-hmm. But you can, whereas if I'm only charging $1,000 a dog, I can only spend $100 to acquire a client. If I want to stay with that metric, 10%. Maybe I want to go up to 15%. That's fine, whatever it is. But you need to really know your numbers in order to know, you know, how much you can spend to acquire a client.
Would you say that a lot of people, they hear stories of advertising working? They're like, maybe they hear some of your stories about how this client just made $20,000 and this, and they almost feel like advertising is the answer rather than, how do I put this? They feel that advertising is going to overcome bad business practices and save the business. Do you ever see that kind of mentality?
All the time. I try and screen for it. But to use an analogy, it's almost like if you're a young man and you're trying to meet a woman to get married and you go out, it's one thing to be able to attract women to you. Maybe you use different strategies. You get a haircut, you buy nicer clothes, you get some nice shoes, you clean your car or you buy a flashy car, whatever it is. Whatever strategy you're using, that may attract women to you. But you got to know how to talk, you know, once you get that initial introduction. So through analogy, you know, that's what the advertising does. The advertising brings you qualified leads. It brings you desperate dog owners with money in hand who are looking for what it is that you have to sell. Once you get them on the phone, you need to have a really strong offer. You need to communicate that clearly. And you need to have a program, you know, that you can communicate clearly that's going to actually meet their needs and also seduce them. And I use that in a positive sense, not in a negative sense. Seduce them into taking the next step forward.
Gotcha. And so, yeah, anyways, maybe I'm just soliloquizing. Is that a word? Maybe I'm just,
I don't know, but I like it.
Editorializing here. Boy, my tongue's getting all tied today. I see this with folks that advertise that, you know, they recognize that there's a problem in their business and they think advertising is going to fix it when the business actually needs to be in a certain position before advertising is even an option. And it sounds like the stuff that you're saying is exactly along those lines to where, number one, you've got to be able to, you know, to charge a good amount. Number two, you've got to be able to sell it at a high amount. It's not enough to just charge. We've got to be good at actually selling it. Are there other things like
And then number three, you need to be able to deliver the results. You need to be able to make clients happy because you've done a good job training their dog. So it's really very much a handshake of those three things.
Do you screen for stuff like that? Like actually look at the operations of their business and say, whoa, you need a phone person here, or you actually need to, you know, you need a facility. I don't know. Is there stuff that you do to look at their operations to determine like whether they're going to be successful with ads or not?
I just kind of ask them questions, you know, ask them on average, you know, what are you charging per dog? Ask them, you know, on average of the people you get in front of, what percentage are you closing? And generally speaking, like we have a handful of millionaire dog trainers who are doing over $1 million a year with their dog training business. And what I find, the feedback that I get is that typically for their trainers or their salespeople, because many of them will separate the two. They'll have people who just do the training and then they'll have people who just do the selling. Obviously, you can't do that when you're a small 1 or 2 person business. But anyways, what they want from what they've told me is that they want to see their people closing between 70 to 80% of the people that they get in front of. Mm-hmm. And if they find that they're closing higher than that, like 90 or 95%, which is funny because I get people who call me up and they brag, I close like 99% of the people I get in front of. Well, that just says you're not charging enough, right? Yeah. So really what you want, you use that as feedback and you should be closing 70 to 80% and then at a very minimum, 50%. And typically they'll say 50%. And if they look at if their closer, their salesperson is closing below 50%, then it's an indication that there's either something wrong with the pitch or the offer or the price point or the delivery or something's not right. So they should be closing between 50 to 80%. And most of them are shooting for 70 to 80% consistently.
So I don't know if you can answer this question or not, because people that listen to this show, we get a lot of dog trainers, but then we get a lot of groomers and pet sitters and dog walkers and veterinarians and stuff like that. So the one thing that's sticking out to me, at least for us dog trainers, is you better be charging enough. Otherwise, you can't advertise and because you're going to go broke advertising. So what does that mean for other industries? Like, can other industries that maybe aren't charging $3,000, you know, that pet sitter that might, you know, do three trips a year and make $400 or $500, are they just out of luck when it comes to Google Ads, or what are your thoughts there?
Well, we do run ads for certain other pet industry businesses, like specifically dog daycare and boarding.
Okay.
And sometimes combo businesses where they may offer daycare and grooming and boarding or other types of services like that. And really what you need to do is you need to calculate, you need to go back into your books and your numbers and figure out what the average lifetime customer value is over the course of your relationship. So let's say, for example, I have a boarding kennel and I know that my average client drops his dogs off three times a year. And the average ticket for each time that they drop the dog off is, let's say, $200. So that would be times three, $600. But on average, we know that that client will continue coming to that boarding kennel for a period of, let's say, 4 years. I'm just making up numbers here, but whatever your numbers are, you need to figure those out. So we would multiply $600 a year times 4 years. So that would be $6,000, $12,000, $18,000, $2,400. And so again, the way that I look at it, I think the way that successful business owners look at it is you're paying to acquire a client. So if you spend, you know, $150, but over the long run, you're going to make $2,400, you know, I'll work with those numbers all day long.
Gotcha. I like it. Okay. So you, and I would imagine that in other industries, the cost of the click is different, right? Like you're saying it might be $4 or $6 or more or less in dog training. When it comes to pet sitting or dog walking, am I wrong to believe that maybe it's less competitive? So therefore the click is going to cost less as well?
Yeah. Well, kind of like what we see typically, like for, we do a handful of dog daycare. I'm not going to say a lot, but I would say more than five, less than 10, somewhere in that ballpark. And it seems like those types of businesses, the cost per click is actually much higher, typically $10 to $12 per click. And the volume though is much lower because it's a much more localized business. You know, people in Southern California, let's say they're in Torrance, they don't necessarily want to drive all the way to Santa Monica, even though they're still in the LA metropolitan area. They want to work with somebody that's like in Torrance, which is a city in Southern California. So because of that, you're running much more tightly, more localized campaigns. And those typically tend to be a little bit more competitive because they're more localized and there's less overall clicks. So at the end of the day, it all comes down to the numbers. And these campaigns do seem to work pretty well. We've had some of these dog daycare people that have been with us for 2 or 3 years now, and it just seems to be working. But the dynamics of it are a little bit different, sure.
Gotcha. All right. I've got some questions for you on how to actually do this and how to, you know, mistakes to avoid and stuff like that. So I've got some more questions, but we're going to take a quick break. So stay with us, folks. We're going to come back with Adam Katz.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There's no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
All right, we're back and we're talking Google Ads with Adam Katz, who runs Google Advertising for dozens and dozens of dog trainers and helps them grow their business by bringing on new clients using Google Ads. What we've talked about so far is a bunch of stuff, but really kind of getting down to the nitty gritty of you've got to know your numbers and you've got to have your business actually set up like a business. That good advertising is not going to erase a bad service. It's not going to erase lack of customer service. It's not going to erase lack of a sales process and stuff like that. So let's talk about the actual ads themselves. You mentioned something earlier about, I think you said negative keywords. Can you talk about keywords and negative keywords and what that means when somebody's setting up their ad account?
Sure. There's really four things that we do different than most Google Ads managers. And that's specifically because we focus on the pet industry and, you know, primarily dog training businesses. So number one, what we're doing is we're focusing on just what we call the money keywords. And we've been able to determine, because we've been in so many different markets and using these landing pages where we use five different call tracking numbers and contact form tracking, we've been able to determine through Google Tag Manager, Google Analytics, all of that, which keywords don't just get the clicks, but actually get the leads, actually convert into leads.
I'm willing to bet that you guard those keywords pretty closely, right? Like, you're not going to tell those to me right now, are you?
Yeah, it's very proprietary. Everything we do is very proprietary. Again, it's a done-for-you service, so you don't have to go through the process of figuring out yourself, which you couldn't anyways, because I'll explain that in just a sec. So there's certain keywords. I'll give you one, like dog trainer near me. People are always surprised. That's a really powerful keyword. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to be wasting money on, you know, somebody types in a search for Filipina dog trainer who wears red tennis shoes and trains at the Griffith Park, right? Because the chances of somebody searching for that, you're going to get one search a year. Yeah, you may get it for a nickel, but what we found is that you're not going to get enough volume of clicks to really move the needle. So number one is focusing on just those money keywords and focusing 100% of the ad spend budget on just those keywords. I'll give you an example. There's 15,000 to 30,000 different keywords and variations that you could be advertising on for your dog training business. We found that there's really only 300 to 400 that consistently actually convert into leads. So what we do is we focus 100% of the client's ad spend budget on just those money keywords. That's the first thing we do a little bit different. The second thing, anybody who's running Google Ads should be using a negative keyword list. We run what's called a shared negative keyword list. Now, to be honest, we run about six different negative keyword lists, and two out of the six are actually shared. So how this works is that, let's say we want Google to show your ad if somebody types in the search term dog training, but we don't want Google to show your ad if somebody types in the search term police dog training, because you don't offer police dog training. If you don't tell Google, don't show that keyword, what happens is they type in police dog training, because police dog training, that phrase has the phrase dog training within it. Google will show your ad. And even though the ad doesn't say anything about police dog training, somebody's going to click on it because they think, well, maybe there's something on the website about police dog training. Then they land on your site. They realize there's nothing here about police dog training. They're probably a little bit pissed off. They hit the back button. That negatively affects your Google Ads campaign. And you've just wasted the $4 to $6 per click, which I don't know about you, but in my neighborhood, that's lunch at Taco Bell. So you cannot be screwing around. So you add that term police dog training and variants, police dog trainer, that type of thing, to your negative keyword list, so that the next time somebody does a search for that, Google doesn't show the ad, even though the ad has the term dog training in it. We want it to show the ad for something like dog training. Now, what we do is we take it a step further. So like I said, in any given time, we're running campaigns in 50 to 60 different markets. So let's say, for example, we've got a client in Miami and Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer, they launch a new TV show and they test market it in Miami first. And all of a sudden, we start seeing searches come through in Miami for stuff like dog training TV show, dog trainer TV show, so on and so forth. And we know from experience, somebody looking for a dog training TV show is not immediately in the market to hire a dog trainer. Mm-hmm. So we add that to the negative keyword list of our client in Miami, and then it automatically adds it to your negative keyword list as well, even though you're in Fresno or wherever you are, California. Because what's going to happen is the moment they roll that show out nationally, we're going to start seeing searches come through for the same types of things, dog training TV show in your market as well. And if it's already blocked out, that means we're not wasting the $4 to $6 per click. So it's a really powerful thing. And you'd be surprised. We have a negative keyword list now of over 20,000 negative keywords.
I mean, let me ask you this. And obviously, I've been recommending you for years. And so I don't want this to sound like a plug or anything like that. Although I plug Adam's business all the time because I think you do a great job. But everything you're saying, it's complex. I know myself, for example, I'm a smart guy, but I couldn't run Google Ads campaigns because I haven't put in the time to learn it and the money and stuff like that. Do you know of dog trainers or dog business owners that have been able to like figure this out on their own, run their own campaigns? Or like, how difficult is this to run? Like, everything you're saying is like, how am I going to get a 20,000 list of negative keywords and stuff like that? Yeah. Is there hope for, you know, for just the dog trainer on his own that wants to spend $500 a month and bring in some new business?
Well, here's the thing. It depends on your market. And so what I look for, one of the things that I look for, if somebody wants to work with us, you need to be in a market with at least 300,000 people, because less than that, it's hard to justify the management fee because the volume of leads is going to be much lower. So, you know, I want you to get at least, you know, average at least a lead a day at the lowest level. And if you're in a bigger market, more than that. So what happens is you also need to know like what type of ad spend. This is another secret I found from hard-won experience. The closer you can match the ad spend budget to the market that you're in, the better the campaigns will do by a multiple. So what we try and do when we can is we want to get as close to 100% market share for the keywords that we're targeting as we possibly can. Because otherwise, what happens is you're sending in a master gunfighter into a gunfight without enough ammunition. So to answer your question, if you're in a teeny tiny market with, let's say, 60,000 people, you know, in the middle of, you know, Kansas or something, there may not be very much competition and you might be able to run your own ads because of that. But obviously, it's not going to be as efficient. You're going to be wasting a lot of money, but that could work. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say it doesn't work, but there's certain, you know, for us, there's certain minimums you need to go in with, you know. So what I typically look at is for a market of about a 300 to maybe 500,000, an ad spend budget of $1,000 a month will probably work all right. But if you think you're going to go in and spend $300, what happens is the closer you get to 100% market share, the lower your cost per lead and the higher the volume of leads you get. In common terms, it pays to be a winner. So we try and set people up from the very beginning to be a winner as much as we can.
So when you say 100% market share, what does that mean? That they're showing up first out of all the ads, or what does that mean?
Not necessarily always showing up first, but let's say you're in, you know, Podunk, USA. You want your ad to show every time somebody in your area searches for one of the keywords that you're advertising for. If the ad only shows for 20 minutes on Monday morning and it's off for the rest of the week, Google says, well, we're not going to give this guy priority and you're going to get even less clicks. So the closer we can get to having the ad show 100% of the time for the keywords that we target, the better the ads do by a multiple. Quick example. Let's say we're spending $1,000 a month in Austin, Texas, and we're getting, I'm just making up numbers here. We're getting 50 leads a month, spending $1,000, getting 50 leads, and we're buying up 50% market share. Mm-hmm. Now the client says, let's increase the budget by $1,000. So let's spend $2,000 a month and let's buy up theoretically 100% market share, or as close mm-hmm. to 100% as we can get. Typically, I'm making a generalization. You won't go from 50 to 100 leads. You'll go from 50 to 120 or maybe 130, or in some cases, 140 leads. So the closer you get to 100% market share, the better the campaigns do by multiple. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So Google is basically saying, look, we can trust you as a business that you're going to continue advertising. We can trust that you know what you're doing and that you're taking care of customers because the numbers are proving that out. Therefore, we're going to reward you. Or maybe that's not even their thought process, but ultimately, they're going to prioritize and reward those who are willing to spend enough to own the market share, right?
Seems like it. I mean, Google doesn't admit this, but I've got the data to prove it, that the closer you get, like, you know, again, if it was just straight and you went from 50 to 100, then, you know, that would kind of make sense, I guess. But there's something their engineers have done, it seems, that the closer you get to 100%, it more than doubles if you go from like 50 to 100.
So I'm not asking, you know, what you charge. Here in a second, we'll tell people how they can go find you and what you do. But like, if somebody's looking to get into this and they want to be competitive, do you have numbers you could tell me? Like, how much will somebody be looking to spend in certain types of markets in order to be competitive?
Yeah, in smaller markets, you know, 300,000 to 500,000, more or less, you know, you're looking at about $1,000 per month in ad spend. That, and again, that's separate from the management fee. Mm-hmm. We charge $4.99 a month. It's just month to month. I don't like people who lock, you know, dog trainers specifically into these long-term contracts because, you know, my feeling is that if this works for you, I'm going to be your new best friend. If it doesn't work for you, I don't want you cursing my family name every month when you pay your credit card bill. So it's got to work for both parties. And we've been fortunate in that most of our clients it has. So generally, medium-sized markets, you're probably looking at about $2,000 a month in ad spend plus the management fee. The management fee is a flat $4.99, whether you spend $1,000 or $100,000. Doesn't matter. But a lot of these guys, you know, if you can't work with me or you want to try somebody else, be aware of this. A lot of these Google Ad managers, they want to charge a flat fee, let's say of a couple hundred bucks or $300,
plus a
percentage,
right?
of your ad spend.
Yeah.
So like it might be 30% of the $1,000 that you're spending, or of your the $3,000, whatever it is. And what happens is it puts your ad manager on the opposite side of the table from you. It puts them on the side of the table of Google. And so they're always coming back to you, trying to convince you to spend more money, whether or not it's in your best interest. So the way that I do it, it's just a flat fee. And if I come back to you and say, look, we're buying up 50% of them, or we're buying up 30% of the market share, I think you'd be much happier with the results if we increase the ad spend budget. Again, that's the money that just goes to Google, by this much, so that we can buy up more of the market share. You're going to get a much better result. You're going to know that I'm not trying to just make an extra buck off you because I'm making that recommendation, because I just make a flat fee. So that
larger market, you're
looking at typically about 3,000 or more, depending. But it's just an issue of having to be competitive, because you're going up against some real sharks in larger markets who are buying up, you know, trying to buy up the volume of market share that we are.
Got, and that was what I was going to say, like a place like New York City or LA, that's going to be like 3,000 plus per month is what you're saying?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Now, I'll tell you this, if you know how to structure your campaigns intelligently, you know, the campaigns, the ad groups, just how to do it intelligently, what happens is you can get a lower cost per click than maybe your competition, who doesn't know what the hell they're really doing. And so click for click, we may be able to buy the same click for $4, whereas our competition is paying $8 or $9 for it, just because the keywords and the ad group and the landing page, everything matches up. So you get a higher internal Google quality score. The analogy is very similar to training dogs. Can somebody train their own dog as good as you, the professional dog trainer? I mean, they could train their own dog, maybe, maybe not. They're never going to get as good a results as you, the professional dog trainer, are going to get. And it's really the same thing with Google Ads, you know, because we just have so much experience in this specific industry.
I like it. And before we talk about how people can find you, and you don't have to use names or anything, but can you tell us, like, you know, types of results that you've been able to see with different trainers across the country?
It's been literally life-changing in some cases. We're typically getting between a 7 to 9 times return on investment. But I do have some outliers where people are just, you know, it's amazing. They might spend $3,000 a month and end up making $45,000 or $50,000 or $60,000 a month from those Google ad campaigns. But, you know, again, that ties into what they're charging on average per dog. So the guy that's charging an average of $3,000 a dog, it's easier for him to hit $20,000 a month than it is the guy charging $1,000 a dog. So I'm not taking, you know, 100% credit for it. But boy, when it works, in my experience, in my opinion, see, I was doing all this stuff with our dog training subscription website, dogproblems.com, back in the day. I was doing email marketing and video marketing and Google ads and even print advertising, different stuff. And for my money, I always seemed to get the highest quality of leads, the best quality of leads from Google ads. And so that's why I chose to focus on it.
I like it. So if somebody wants to talk to you or figure out if your service is right for them, where should we send them?
Yeah, head on over to browningdirect.com, 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 Browning like the rifle, browningdirect.com.
Is that what you named it after?
Kind of. I had a brown Doberman named Browning. So that's kind of, but he was named after the rifle. So, or the, actually John Moses Browning, the guy that invented that rifle. So yeah, you can check out there. There's enough information. You can figure it out. Book a free consultation with us where we'll get on the phone with you for about 45 minutes and, you know, kind of put our heads together. And I became a millionaire when I was 40 and I'm 50 now. I like money, don't get me wrong, but it's not like I need, you know, the business to be able to feed myself. So I want to make sure that when people contact me, we get on the phone and we make sure that it's the right opportunity for you guys. I'm not interested in making $500 off you. I'm going to make $20,000 off you because the ads are so successful that you use us to run the ads for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
So that's my goal, that you're happy with it and it's making you money.
Awesome. BrowningDirect.com. Adam, thank you so much for being on the show today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
And for the listeners, make sure you head over to PetLifeRadio.com. Check out all the other episodes under Six Figure Dog Business. And while you're there, listen to all the other shows on PetLifeRadio.com. There's a ton of cool stuff. And head over to TyTheDogTrainerCoach.com if you want to get in touch with me if you have questions or ideas for upcoming shows. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.